This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. It is good to be back here again, and today we get to chapter 2 of the Gospel according to Mark. We did, I believe, 8 exhortations through chapter 1, and I hope you are blessed by all of them. So we're going to continue to march through Mark, take our time, and see Jesus, see his life, because we can't forget that he lived a life as a human, but also he is God. Amen. He is that fully God and fully man. So let's remember that. Quick review. Last time we were together, we saw the compassion that Jesus has for people who are sick. We saw the compassion that Jesus has for people who are oppressed by demons. We saw that Jesus cares so much that he gets physically in the lives of those who are sick and demon oppressed. He gets so physically there that he reaches out and he touches even the untouchable, even the leper, who you weren't supposed to touch. There were laws to not touch the leper, but Jesus reaches out and touches this leper because he has compassion. Compassion from the very seat of compassion. This is something that Jesus has from his inward parts. The words describe that compassion, to just reach out and touch the unclean, to touch the untouchable. This compassion we will continue to see today in our passage as Jesus heals once again, healing a paralyzed man. We will see the authority he has to do so, and also the authority again in his words, in his very words. Today we will continue to see this authority and more. So let us get to the word of God. We will now read from the holy, inerrant, infallible, spirit-inspired word of God in chapter 2, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 2. The word of God says, "And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by 4 men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.' Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?' And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, 'Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Rise, take up your bed and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all. So they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." And this is the word of God. Amen. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can come here and hear from you, that this isn't just some self-help meeting, that this isn't just some TED talk or speech, Lord, that this is your very word, Lord. So may we hear from you. Open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts and our minds to receive what you have to say. May we be changed, Lord, not just listening to the words, but we know that through your Holy Spirit, your word can change people. Your word can save the lost. So if there's anyone here today who is lost, may they hear of what your Son has done to save them. And for those of us who have believed, help our unbelief, Lord. Encourage us today. Encourage our hearts. As maybe there's some people that walked in here barely able to come here today, but they came, Lord. So may they be blessed by hearing what you have to say. May we come away from here loving you more and loving each other. I pray everything in the saving, holy name of Jesus Christ. And the saints of God said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. As humans, we always tend to complicate things. It's definitely a result of the fall. It's our sin gets in the way, complicates things. We have obstacles we come against. We have problems of many kinds that we have to deal with. Some of the problems are caused by others. Some of these problems we cause ourselves. These obstacles and difficulties will often keep coming. And often we overlook the simple solutions. It could be a simple action that solves the issues. It could be a simple thought that overcomes an obstacle. Or it could be a simple few words that bring us true peace. Those words might even be unexpected, taken for granted, overlooked, or often forgotten. In the passage before us today, we see four men bring their paralytic friend to Jesus so that this Jesus could heal their friend. We see that people were so packed into this house that they couldn't get their friend to Jesus. They were there to hear Jesus preach and to hear him teach. So these men had to resort to taking part of the roof off and lowering their friend in to this healer. Then Jesus starts some trouble with the scribes by this little phrase that he says to this paralyzed man. Jesus is then accused by the scribes in their hearts of blaspheming. They say he's making himself out to be God. Yet Jesus heals this man and tells the man to get up, and all were amazed. Today we will look at this passage with 3 points. 1, faith-filled friends. Faith-filled friends. 2, forgiving Savior. And 3, forever God. Faith-filled friends, forgiving Savior, forever God. My prayer is that as we look at this event in the life of Jesus, we are reminded once again of who he is. I pray we are reminded once again of why he came, and more importantly, who he came for. I pray that if you haven't yet, that you realize today and you believe today that he came for you. And that you hear what he said to this paralyzed man. Not just that you are physically healed, but you hear that your sins are forgiven. Also, ask yourself this as you listen today. Are you willing to do anything to bring people to Jesus? Amen. Not just the unbeliever, but also the believer. What will you do to get people that you know, or even strangers, what will you do to bring them to Christ? So let us begin. Faith-filled friends. Verse 1. And when he returned to Capernaum, after some days, it was reported that he went home. And many were gathered together, so that there was no room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. Here we read of Jesus returning from Capernaum after some days. If you remember in the last chapter, chapter 1, the way it ended, Jesus was leaving Capernaum to now go to the other regions of Galilee to preach. He said he must go there to preach. That is why he came, to preach. Now, Capernaum was also the place where he healed Peter's mother-in-law. It was also the place where he started to begin to heal others and cast out many demons. But then Jesus said he had to go to the next town and preach. But now here he's returning to Capernaum, the place where they didn't want to hear from Jesus at first what he had to teach. They just wanted the healing. But now he says when he returns, the house is packed. They're listening to him teach. They're listening to him preach the word. They're listening to him preach his word. In fact, they packed the entire house to hear him proclaim the word. It's so crowded they couldn't fit any more into the house. The door was blocked. There was no way to get in to see and hear this teacher. There was no way to get in and be healed. But there was a man with some friends who needed to get to see Jesus. They needed to get their friend to see this man. Perhaps they heard the stories of Peter's mother-in-law being healed. Perhaps they heard the stories of Jesus healing others and casting out demons. Perhaps they heard the excitement of the leper as he went around proclaiming what this man had done for him. That he was touched. The untouchable was touched. And here we read this in Mark verse 3. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by 4 men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Have you ever heard the phrase, "no man left behind," or "leave no man behind"? In researching this phrase, because that's what this passage kind of brings to my mind, I found in the usdictionary.com, the phrase, "leave no man behind," is often heard in various contexts, from military operations to friendships. It emphasizes the principle of making sure no one is left behind, regardless of the situation. In short, "leave no man behind" means to make sure that everyone in a group is accounted for and not abandoned. So what does "leave no man behind" mean? The idiom "leave no man behind" carries rich layers of meaning, all anchored on the principles of unity, responsibility, and loyalty. It's not just physically ensuring that everyone is present, but also emotionally and moral support. In a military context, military settings, it literally means that no wounded or killed soldier will be left behind during a retreat or extraction. Teamwork. In a team, be it in sports or at work, it signifies the importance of ensuring that all team members are aligned and moving forward towards a common goal. Social bonds. In friendships and relationships, it means standing by each other through thick and thin. The common thread in all these contexts is the responsibility to ensure that the well-being of every member of the group, no matter the circumstances. When I hear the phrase "no man left behind," I immediately, in my mind, go to a military situation, especially the U.S. military. I've never been on the battlefield, but I have tremendous respect for those who have. If you have, thank you for your service. I can't imagine what it's like, but I've seen movies that depict it, and they probably don't even get half of it, the horrors of war. I recently saw a movie based on a true story of a medic during World War II who carried and cared for many fellow soldiers who were on top of a ridge as they got stuck on the ridge on this battlefield. He did all he could to get these wounded soldiers back to the ridge and lower them down to safety. Here we see four men willing to get their friend to Jesus any way possible. Their friend was paralyzed. His legs did not work. He could not walk on his own. They see that the house is full, and they go up to the roof. This would have been a one-story house probably back in this time with a flat roof, maybe had a staircase built in on the outside. One commentator says of this house, "A composition of mortar and tar and ashes and sand is spread upon the roofs and rolled hard, and grass grows in the crevices. On the houses of the poor in the country, the grass grows more freely, and goats have been often seen on the roofs cropping it." Imagine a goat on top of your house, just eating the grass. "In some cases, as in this, stone slabs are laid across the joints, as seen in Luke 5, verse 19. Where it is said they let him down through the tiles, so that they would be obliged not only to dig through the grass and the earth, but also pry the tiles." So this roof may have grass and dirt where they had to dig through and then remove the tiles, taking the ceiling tiles off and lowering their friend down. This was not an easy task. They would have to carry this man up steps to get to the roof, then remove the dirt, remove the grass, and then remove the tiles and lower this man down. They did not leave their friend behind. They were getting their friend to see this Jesus. They were willing to dig a hole and tear the roof off in order to bring their friend to the healer. How can you apply this to your life? It's simple. You should be bringing people to Jesus.
Amen.
We should not be willing to leave anyone behind. But who should you bring? Unbelievers? Of course. Of course, bring your unbelieving friends, families, strangers to Jesus. Tell people about Jesus. Invite them here. Invite them to church. Invite them to a Bible study. Tell them about Jesus. Bring them to the Savior. Your unbelieving friends and family are in a much worse position than a wounded soldier on the battlefield. They are dead on the battlefield of life. They need a Savior. They need new life. They need to be born again. They need to be born from above. They don't just need heart surgery. They need a heart transplant. And the only heart donor, the only heart worthy to give you life from the donor is the heart of Jesus Christ. You need that heart transfer. You need that new heart. Your unbelieving friends and family need a new heart. They need life. Bring them to Jesus. Don't leave them behind. But notice here, these men and their friends are said by Jesus to have faith. Jesus sees their faith. They are willing. They are believing, even though they don't know completely yet who this man is. But they have faith. What are you doing to encourage other believers? There may be Christians here today struggling with their faith. These Christians have been made alive. You are alive in Christ, but you may be struggling with your faith. Perhaps you did limp in here today, barely able to walk in spiritually because you're having doubts. You're not sure. But it's okay, you're here. Perhaps the world of flesh and the devil are waging war. And you know people who are trying to wage back that war as a lone ranger, not letting other people know. They're going through a hard time. Maybe they even shared with you their needs, but maybe they're keeping their needs to themselves. If you haven't and you are limping in here, barely able to walk in the church today, limping spiritually, limping emotionally, wounded or paralyzed even, let somebody here know. Let somebody here carry you to Jesus. Amen. Let your Christian brothers and sisters know what you need. Bless your brothers and sisters with the opportunity and the blessing to carry you to Jesus. Amen. Carry you to the foot of the Savior. Amen. You are not a burden. You are not a burden. You're not a burden. Amen. Yes, life is hard. Life is hectic. People are busy. There's only so much time in the day, but you are not a burden. Let somebody in here carry you to the foot of Christ. Yes. Let the faith of your brothers and sisters take the roof off, tear the roof off, and lower you down to the feet of Jesus. And if you know people in need, let me ask you, are you walking alongside of your brothers and sisters? Are you carrying them to the feet of Jesus? Are you a faithful, faith-filled friend who is willing to tear the roof off to get your brothers and sisters to the Lord and encourage them? Here in the fellowship is a great place to do it. This is a great place where we know we're going to gather once a week and we can bear each other's burdens. But last time I looked at a calendar, there's 6 other days in the week. Let people know you need help. Help others that you know need it. It's as simple as a text message, as a phone call, as an email, or the old-fashioned just go over to their house and sit with them, listen to them. You don't even need to offer advice. Just listen to them. Pray with them. Read scripture with them. We're so connected with technology these days, but we're so disconnected. We're probably the most disconnected generation, but we have no excuse. You can carry your brothers and sisters to the feet of Jesus. You can be carried to the feet of Jesus, believer and unbeliever. You don't have to walk alone. You have brothers and sisters in Christ who will carry you. Let us carry each other, no matter the obstacle or whatever is in the way. We can get around that to get people to Jesus. The world, the flesh, and the devil keep coming at us. Let us leave no one behind. Let us faithfully love each other and carry each other to the throne room of grace as Jesus carries us on his shoulders as the good shepherd carries his sheep. Let us go to Jesus and bring everyone we can. He can heal. He can save. And he can say to you, son, your sins are forgiven. And that's our second point, forgiving Savior. See this tender Jesus saying, son. He says, daughter. Also in other places. But here this Greek word is technon. It's actually a word used to refer to child. Jesus is not saying son in the sense that you might hear nowadays of an older person talking to a younger boy and saying, now son, listen to me. No. Jesus is calling this man, in a sense, a child. Not that he is childish, but in the sense, as some commentators say, that Jesus is calling this man his child. He's saying, my child, my son, your sins are forgiven. In the account in Matthew 9, it is recorded that Jesus says to the man, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. These men carry their paralyzed friend to Jesus. They take him up to the roof. They remove the ceiling, making a hole in the roof. They lower their friend down to Jesus to hear him say, take heart, have courage, be bolstered from within. Be of good cheer, my son, my child, your sins are forgiven. Do you hear this? Do you hear Jesus say this to you? Let me take you right now to Jesus. Let me carry you to his feet. Let me lower you through the hole in the ceiling to Jesus. That's what you need right now. And every day, you need to be with Jesus. Jesus says to you, take heart, my son, my daughter, my child, your sins are forgiven. Sin. Sin is real. Sin is a huge problem. Sin brings death. The wages of sin is death. It's not something we can make go away on our own. We can't just think good thoughts and sin goes away. Think happy thoughts, sin goes away. It doesn't just go away like that. And God doesn't ignore our sin. That's not how he forgives, just by simply forgetting it. Sin is not something that is okay. Sin is not something to be celebrated. We shouldn't celebrate a whole month of sin. Proverbs 16:18 said, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Your sin may have caused your friends and your family pain. Their sin, the sin of others, may have caused you pain. Your own sin has caused you pain. Your sin has destroyed a peaceful relationship with the holy God. And again, God doesn't wink at sin and just say, oh, I'm just going to let that go. In order to forgive your sin, God did something else. God sent his own son to live a perfect sinless life and to die on the cross, the death that you and I deserve. Sin came with a cost. Forgiveness of sin comes with a cost, but somebody else pays that cost. We don't pay it. It has been paid. It's been paid in full. Jesus sent his son, and he came, and he did exactly what he was going to do. If you have believed, then he did this for you. If you have believed, then he did this for you. But if you haven't believed yet, you can. You can believe today. He did this knowing you and knowing everything that you have done, everything that you will do. He knew the sins of this paralyzed man, and he forgave them. Jesus died on the cross for that man in order to forgive his sins. So he could say with full confidence his sins were forgiven, knowing what he hadn't even done yet because he was going to die for that man. Jesus went on to die for you, Christian. Yes. Amen. And he has risen for our justification. Amen. Hear him today and believe our sins are many, his mercy is more. Think of that when we sing that song later. Our sins are many, his mercy is more. But why? Why should you trust in him? How can he say to this man, how can he say to you, your sins are forgiven? Our third point, forever God. Verse 6, now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, why do you question these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed, and walk? Notice it doesn't say that the scribes spoke out loud. Jesus heard and perceived in his spirit that they questioned in their hearts. Jesus knew what they were thinking, because he's God. Amen. Who is this man? Who does he think he is? Can he really forgive sins? Does he think he's God? Not even our priests have the authority like that to forgive sins. throughout the Old Testament and in this time of Jesus, there were sacrifices of animals, bulls, goats, and turtle doves, other animals, sheep, lambs were offered to God. But it wasn't the sacrifice that would make you sinless or take away your sin. God forgave always by his mercy, by his grace, through faith, throughout the Bible. It was by grace through faith, looking forward to the cross in the Old Testament, and now we look back to the cross in the New Testament. Sacrifices that were accepted were offered in faith. They pointed to the greatest sacrifice of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. David writes in Psalm 51, verse 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise." Amen. We see throughout the scriptures many come to God for mercy and receive mercy. It is God who forgives. God alone forgives. God forgives those, again, who come to him in repentance and faith. The scribes aren't wrong. Only God can forgive sins. But what the scribes got wrong is they were in the presence of the God who forgives sins. The scriptures that these scribes studied and said they knew so well were about Christ, yet they missed it. It's like being in the presence of your favorite celebrity, sports star, whoever, and you don't even know it. It's more than that. I saw a video the other day of a famous baseball player collecting tickets at the gate, and the fans walked just right by him. They didn't even know who was collecting these tickets. These Pharisees or these scribes are in the presence of the very God who created them, the very God who can forgive sins, and they missed it. They could not see. Yes, only God can forgive sins. And again, I tell you, Jesus is God. Amen. He's the second person of the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus is God. The scribes were waiting for the Messiah, the one, the scriptures that they studied were written about. And he is there, but they questioned their hearts. And Jesus knew their hearts. Again, only God can know their hearts. Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus would next demonstrate to them his authority to forgive sins by healing, showing his authority again to heal. Verse 10, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them. So they all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Son of Man, Jesus calls himself Son of Man. He does this often in the gospel accounts. One of his favorite titles for himself, Son of Man. Yes, this points to him as the Son of Man, Son of God, fully human, fully God. But also remember the Old Testament. Remember, if you recall back in Daniel 7, where Daniel has this vision of, and he says, "One like the Son of Man coming up to the Ancient of Days and receiving a kingdom." And now this Son of Man has come. He's proclaiming the kingdom of God. He says, "The kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe." He's healing, he's casting out demons. And now he shows his authority as God to forgive sins. Jesus asks, "What is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven or rise?" And he heals the paralyzed man. The man rises, picks up his bed, and he goes out before this packed house. Jesus heals. Jesus can heal you. Yes. Brothers and sisters, Jesus has healed you. He's healed you. Jesus forgives sins. Remember, again, sin is the root of the problem. Sin is rotten. Sin has brought a curse on the world. We get sick because of sin. Children are born with health issues because of sin. Broken legs, broken arms, broken backs. They all come because of sin. Death is a result of sin. But remember, when Jesus is asked in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 9, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, to cause him to be born blind?" Jesus replies in John 9, verse 3, "It was not this man who sinned, this man sinned, or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." The works of God were displayed in the healing of this paralytic. The works of God were displayed in the faith that he saw that these men had. The packed house was amazed at this scene. What happened after? They glorified God. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done.
Amen.
This man could not walk. He is now walking. But don't miss this. Don't miss this very important thing here. Don't miss what God in Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel, the Savior, what he first said to this man. This is it right here. Son, daughter, my child, your sins are forgiven. These are a few simple words. Few simple words of God. These simple words here should not be overlooked. They should not be taken for granted, but often we do. These words are powerful. These words are good news. These words come as a result of what God has done for sinners in Christ. This is the word of God. This is the truth. Jesus has all authority to forgive sin. He is forever eternal God. The one who you sinned against takes your sin. He took your punishment for sin on the cross. He suffered hell on the cross. In a sense, he was cast out of the camp on the cross. The sickness, the broken bones, the blindness, ills, pain, sorrow, suffering, cancer, you name whatever ill this world has, Jesus conquered on the cross, far as the curse is found. Are you amazed? Are you glorifying God? This is the greatest miracle here. This is the greatest miracle recorded in the Bible, that sinners can be forgiven. This is the greatest miracle in the world, that sinners can be forgiven. Perhaps if Jesus just healed this man, simply healing him, the scribes might have said nothing at all. But because he said, Son, your sins are forgiven. Who's this man? Only God can forgive sins. That's because Jesus Christ is God. Do you stop and think of that miracle that happens in your life? Again, you limp in here. You're not sure. You have doubts, pain, sorrow, suffering. Your sins are forgiven. Not deserved at all. We deserve hell. We deserve the cross, but our sins are forgiven because Jesus took the cross. That is a miracle. I'm going to quote another song because we're going to sing this right after this. But as I ran my hellbound race, indifferent of the cost, God looked upon my helpless state and led me to the cross. And I beheld God's love displayed. He suffered in my place. He bore the wrath reserved for me. Christian, now all you know is grace.
Amen.
Pick up your bed and go home. Do you hear him? Do you hear him? Are you bringing others to hear that message as well? Their sins are forgiven. If they trust it, if they have faith, that's all it requires. Faith in life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins.
Amen.
That is all you have to tell people in your discussions with them. Simple as that. That's the good news. Bring them here to hear it. Remind each other of that. Carry your brothers and sisters on their bed as they can't even walk one more day to the feet of Christ so they can hear, son, daughter, your sins are forgiven. Let's be faithful, faith-filled friends who take people to the forgiving Savior who is forever God. Alleluia. He is all we need.
Alleluia.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that we can be reminded of the words that Jesus said to the paralytic here today. We can be reminded that that is what you said to us, Lord. You have forgiven our sins. You have healed us, Lord. Although we will still have aches and pains here and now, those will be taken away. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears. Wiping them all away is what your word says you will do. And I believe it because of what has happened through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Lord. We look forward to that day. We look forward to his return. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. But until that time, may this ring in our ears. Son, daughter, my child, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. And may we live a life with that truth in gratitude towards you, striving to sin no more, but knowing we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. And may we bring others to the foot of Jesus, to the foot of the cross, doing whatever we can to leave no man, no woman, no child behind, but bring them right into heaven.
Amen.
Let me be so bold to say, let us drag people into heaven if we have to, Lord. You're the way, the truth, and the life through Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I pray everything in the saving name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.